Well, into the future, we're going to continue to seek the truth. And our feature interview tonight is joining us, is going to be calling in on his international book tour, Kevin Annett. We're hoping to speak with him again this week, a continuation of our talk last week about, you know, the International Tribunal into the crimes of the church and state and all the work that Kevin Annett has been doing. Then also joining us in studio, we have in studio guest, the producer of the Toronto G20 Exposed. And we got Derek Sobral in the studio. We're going to be talking about what went down on this weekend into the traffic, a G20 protest. And we've also got some clips from Ernie Panicoli's speech. The legendary hip-hop photographer was on campus last week for the live hip-hop festival, Live Hip Hop. If you are hip-hop, you were probably there, or you could stay tuned to find out what you missed. So why don't we'll start off this week, this episode of the Word of Mouth Wednesday, with a clip of Ernie Panicoli, just to get you warmed up for what we're going to be talking about. Well, the whole episode long, I guess. Ernie Panicoli, here's a bit of his intro to his speech when he talked about, the question, did hip-hop spark the revolution in Wisconsin?
I want to show you it's deadly serious. And anything that I do today, I'm going to use the backdrop of Egypt and Libya. And I don't know if any of you are aware of what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin right now. They stopped the government. They stopped it. And I had been at Madison, I had been at that university, and I spoke three times. Me, Dead Prez, Chuck D, different brothers and sisters went there, including the son of the Black Panther, Fred Hampton Jr., and that was killed by the police. So we were there, and we activated that, and that spark has taken off. So this is serious.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that is that's a bit of the serious knowledge. You're going to be hearing some hip-hop knowledge if you keep on staying tuned to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. But first off, we're going to be talking about the topic, the big topic of the G20 Toronto. What went down last week, what we've got going on in the future, and, you know, what is the latest with Toronto G20. And joining us in the studio right now, we've got Derek Sobral. Hey, Derek, are you on mic right now?
Hey, Daniel, how you doing? Word of Mouth Wednesday here. We're live in studio, 88.1 CKLN. Pleasure to be here tonight, speaking about truth and getting out the information to the Canadian public.
For real, for real. And what we're going to do is we're going to get into playing some clips from the rally that took place just this past Saturday, and it was an action at Yonge and Dundas. We were talking about it, you know, we were hyping it at the end of the show last week. This took place Saturday, March 5th. And it's calling a public inquiry into the G20. But maybe before we play the clip, Derek, do you want to talk about what this whole rally was all about, how it came about?
Sure. Yeah. 8 months later, we have a lot of concerned citizens, people that wanted to organize an event to bring awareness into the community. We are a G20 community. We are a G20 family. We're standing up for all the people that were brutally attacked at the G20 meeting summit during Toronto, June 26th, 27th. And we want accountability. We are calling for a full public inquiry, and the provincial government has said no. The federal government has said no. They are not accountable. So we, the people, must stand up. We need democracy for the people, by the people, and that's why we needed to go to Dundas Square. We organized this event, and we had about 50, 60 people, and I'd like to thank each and every one of them to brave the cold rain, to be organized, and to come out and to be peaceful. We held up peace signs, we were holding hands in the middle of the traffic, and we just got our point across. We were handing out flyers to the general public and giving out information to websites and DVDs, and that's all we can do is just be peaceful and make people aware of the situation that occurred. We had the largest mass violations of charter rights in the history of Canada. We had the largest mass arrest in the history of Canada. We had numerous assaults on innocent people, including handicapped. We had sexual assault threats. Over 90 officers not wearing badges. And it's funny because at the rally, one officer in particular didn't have a badge, and that came up as well.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And we've got a bit of that audio in this clip. You're gonna hear a bit of it, and well, maybe we'll be right back after you hear a bit of what happened at the action this Saturday. You're gonna hear, I think it's a bit of it is Derek at the beginning with a megaphone. You'll hear him in the distance because it starts off basically into the traffic. This is G20 inquiry now into the traffic. Word, we'll be right back. Word of mouth.
I've seen things this They can recognize people that are beating.
Yeah, he's got his reasons for not wearing his name tag, he said.
No,
but he doesn't want to tell us what it is.
He's ashamed.
No,
I thought it was the law. They had to.
I thought it was Blair's law who demanded their names be there.
Yeah, he says he has his own secret.
Well, while we're on discussion, what makes you think that you can walk into a public intersection and block traffic?
I have the right to protest.
You don't have the right to block traffic.
I do.
10 years did go on 404 and they closed highways and nobody was bugging her. Here you bug because you know, little protest like this.
Fitting is also rude.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. Now! Public inquiry now! A public inquiry now! Public inquiry now! Public inquiry now! Public inquiry now!
This is still Canada, guys! This is still Canada! Democracy!
Tell me why the police stand the place!
This is why the police stand the place!
The underlying thought goes on. His jacket was a while ago. There's no underlying doubt over the piece. It was the first Velcro piece. So this is just straight from the people that distribute our police equipment.
1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want them right over. 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't want the police state. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want them right over. 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't want the police state.
Words. So those were some of the chants, some of the calls, some of the words from the street. That was words from the street. You heard a bit of Derek's voice. You heard a bunch of voices there actually throughout the street. And it was a controversial protest with, I guess, the main action or major action during the protest was a move into the traffic. And it was a protest into the intersection right at Yonge and Dundas. And that's why you heard some of the cars honking there. Now, Derek, what did you think about what happened? Like, I guess for the people on radio who weren't there, I guess, could you describe what happened?
Sure. We talked amongst ourselves, and we just wanted to get a clear justification of what to do in this kind of particular circumstance. So having this in a public area, which is at Yonge and Dundas, we talked amongst ourselves and came up to the conclusion, everybody agreed, that we should go into the green light, which is a four-way light system in Yonge and Dundas Square. We were there for about, I'd say, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes at the most. you know, and we handed out flyers, we held hands, we put up peace signs, and we just wanted to have an awareness so people would talk about the issue. Because 8 months later, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association has called for a full public inquiry. The Ontario Ombudsman, Andre Moran, has also called for a full public inquiry. He deemed the controversial Ontario Public Works Act illegal. You know, and also Amnesty International was calling for it. A lot of these labor groups and activists know that this is the only conclusion that we get to the bottom of the truth and what happened, who was making the calls, who is behind the orders given to treat Canadians like this unlawfully, you know?
Right, and last week when we were talking about this protest, we were sort of jumping around from the topic of these international protests, the worldwide protests, to the G20 protest, which is a local protest, but it's against, you know, the international elite leaders. This G20 Toronto issue, and, you know, sort of connects with all these international protests when we consider how this whole protest came about and how they've been saying, you know, a lot of the protests in like Egypt and stuff have been inspired or influenced by the internet. I guess, Derek, how did this come about? Because I know it's connected with Facebook. What is, I guess, how can people find out about the protests?
Yeah, if they want to go on Facebook, there's a page with information. And it's educational, so we have the facts there, we have the video clips, we have the movies, so people can watch and judge for themselves.
Right.
We don't need people on the sidelines. We need people to get involved, able-bodied men and women, to take a stand and to stand up for other Canadians. This is the time. You know, and we know who's behind this. It wasn't the government of Canada. It was Harper's government. You know, it was his party in this city.
Right.
So, I mean, we need to hold these people accountable. And it's on a Facebook group, and everybody can go and search. It's called Canadians Demanding a Full Public Inquiry. And I'm a moderator on that site. There's a community of 60,000 people. It's a family. It's people who are real Canadians that care about our democracy. And we're standing up for rights just like they're standing up for rights in Tunisia, just like they're standing up for rights in Egypt, just like they're doing it in Libya. I mean, we take our rights for granted in this country. We have the Charter Rights and Freedoms that say we are promised these rights on a piece of paper, and it's got to stand up, and they can never attack that paper. They can never attack our given rights. And when they do, we got to stand up for them at all times throughout history. And this is one of these times in history. And in Wisconsin, they're going after workers' rights. And there's thousands of people coming together saying, you know what, we want to bargain for our labor rights. Michael Moore was just there giving an amazing speech. And, I mean, they're rallying together because they know what's at stake here. We see food prices rising. We see oil prices rising. The kettle, we're cooking in the kettle as we speak.
Right.
You know, and we will brave the rain. We will brave the snow. We will come together no matter what it takes, because this is the future of our country. This is our city. And our representatives represent us. And our police forces are here to serve and protect the public. So when they make mistakes, we got to unite together, we got to come together, and we got to demand a full public inquiry, and that's what we want.
For real, yeah, and we're not here to just talk about a rally that took place last Saturday, because there's more stuff to look forward to in the future, and that includes, I think it's not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, I think that's March 19th, they're talking about Canada-wide national protests against this Harper's government issue, the government of Harper. Now, what country are we living in? Who's the government right now? Derek, how did this surprise you at all when you found out or when this information has been revealed that there's been an internal directive in the government to refer to, instead of referring to the government of Canada, to refer to Harper government? What did you think about this issue?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because it's all ego. You know, this guy has a majority government. He came into the middle of Toronto and had his G20 meeting. It was a disaster, you know, and he is accountable. We have to hold him accountable for his actions. And, I mean, it's the Harper regime, make no doubt about it, you know. And basically here you have, he prolonged parliament. This is election time, just around the corner, you know. And if you type it into YouTube, the Harper government monitors Facebook and YouTube now. So that's also happening.
Right.
You know, they want to check up to see what we're saying. Well, hear us loud and clear. We want a full public inquiry into G20, and we're not going to stop no matter what. If you don't do it in 1 year, we're going to come back. If it ain't happening in 2 years, we're still going to be there. So no matter what, we are coming together. We're uniting. We're peaceful people. We want accountability. We're not holding the police accountable. It's a G20 issue on accountability. So, I mean, the average police officer I meet are great people. I make a lot of conversations. I handle free DVDs. And I'm not holding the average officer accountable. It's the leadership that we're questioning. And we just want answers into what happened, you know, because this is our democracy. We have to be the shining light for the rest of the world. This is Canada, you know. And we had an officer at G20 say, this isn't Canada anymore. And he actually said on record that we have no civil rights. So when G20 officers are representing these statements, we have to investigate these things, you know.
For real, for real. And the looking out into what we got, what we're planning around for this whole issue, is there's a hope that there's going to be some actions around, you know, coming up at the end of June for the anniversary. Are these, Derek, have you heard anything about that, you know, already being planned now? Is that underway, or is there, you know, how, you know, have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about it. It's gaining a lot of momentum. And it's on Facebook. You can go to Canadians Demanding a Full Public Inquiry into G20. There's 60,000 people on there. And you could also type up Toronto G20, 1 year anniversary. We want to get the smartest of the smartest. We want to get the most intellectual activists, the most vocal speakers, victims who have a voice, who want to stand for freedom and tell their story, because this is Canadian history right now. And we want people to come together to unite. We want numerous organizers. We want union heads. We want activists, musicians, artists. We want everybody to come together in the sake of love and peace, because we want to have a party. We want to have a party. We want to have musicians. We want to celebrate the rights that we have right now. We want to stand up for them. And we want to bring back solidarity, because you know what? A lot of voices weren't heard at G20. Those peaceful rallies were shut down. You know, and this is what democracy is all about. It's about standing up for what you believe in. It's about having a passion. So when the free speech zone was shut down at Queen's Park, we have to reinvent the way we do things. And we're looking at opening up Dundas Square for the 1 year anniversary to have numerous musicians, and everybody can be involved. We want everybody to have a take in this. There's no clear leadership. Everybody has the initiative to just want to be a part of it. We need active people. We need people who care, you know? And if you just see the movie, you can go online. I produced it. I put all my heart and effort into it. It's TorontoG20Exposed.ca. You know, I didn't profit off it. I just gave it out for free. I put it up on YouTube. It's got over 22,000 hits.
Nice.
And I mean, just to fund this operation, I'll let people know what I put out there, you know? I was 2 months behind rent. And I had to sell both of my televisions, and thank God I don't have a TV to this day.
Right.
And I gave my heart into it, and I put myself on the line. And I did it because, you know what, I care about people. I care about this country, and I want to see it moving forward. And we went into those traffic lights, we went on a green light, because green light means go. Mm-hmm. It means move forward, and to have pride in your country, and to say, you know what, this charter rights, it says right in there in the beginning, the supremacy of God. That's what it says. The Canadian National Anthem, God keep our land glorious and free. So let's never forget that, you know? We have to be a part of the change. And when we were trampled singing Oh Canada, you go into YouTube, you type Oh Canada, G20, you're going to see innocent Canadians sitting down singing the anthem and people trampled over them. And is that the message that we want to send to our future citizens of this country? No, we want to have Toronto be the epicenter of activism, of unions, of teachers, of philosophers, of artists, people coming together, connecting, and creating a difference. And we all got to be involved, especially the young people, the women, the men, people who care. We want real people, you know?
For real, yeah. Speaking a lot of truth here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, Derek Sobral in the studio. Check out the Toronto G20 Exposed.ca, Toronto G20 Exposed, the movie. And what we're going to throw it to now is a bit of the knowledge, the hip-hop knowledge that was live on campus last week, the live hip-hop festival, Live Hip Hop, which was an opening night speech last Monday. So this would have been February the 28th, 2011, and it was at Ryerson University campus. Student organized this free hip-hop event, and it was presented by the Urban Hip-Hop Union, urbanhiphopunion.com. The Urban Hip-Hop Union at Ryerson brought in the legendary photographer and a godfather of hip-hop who speaks on topics like the history of hip-hop, Afrika Bambaataa, dark secrets of Bohemian Grove, the media manipulation, inflation in the USA, Gil Scott Heron, and more, all up in this clip. Stay tuned for the legendary Ernie Panicoli, brother Ernie Third Eye, on Word of Mouth.
Actual birthday invite for the party in 73 in August, And so people say, well, that's when hip-hop started.
Well, there are two things that started, and they started a year apart. One was the Universal Zulu Nation, which precedes hip-hop by 1 year. And that was created by Afrika Bambaataa. You go forward, and you have another organization created, which is the Temple of Hip-Hop. And the Temple of Hip-Hop was created by KRS-One under the auspices and guidance of Brother Afrika Bambaataa. Then we created a third entity, which was for pioneers only, called the Federation for the Preservation of Hip-Hop Culture, a.k.a. the Federation, which last April I quit because people would rather brag about shit they did than what they're doing. You have to understand it was 74, 84, 94, 2004. You got to keep evolving. If I just stopped here, I've been doing this for a long time. How many of you remember a song called You Must Learn? KRS-One. You Must Learn. They don't try to make a dog. They don't try to make a dog a cat. There was KRS-One, there was an X-Clan. There was a group called PRT, which stood for Poor Righteous Teachers. The brother who headed that, Wise Intelligent. And at the same time, there was a group that was influencing Bambaataa and influencing the founders of hip-hop. There was two groups. One is called the Wanubians, who was led by Dr. York, KMD. How many of you heard of the Dr. York, the Wanubians? Okay, how many of you know the other group that was out there called, what was the group created by Clarence 13X? Gods and the Earths, a.k.a. the 5% Nation. Anybody know the theology of the 5% Nation? If you don't, I'll tell you.
5% of the world.
5% of the people are the poor righteous teachers. 10% are the wicked, the George Bushes, that parasitic old man prick that they had. Dom Rumsfeld, that degenerate. Saddam Hussein. All these people get together once a year, by the way, in Bohemian Grove, and they all hump each other and do all kinds of freaky shit. Then they get on the news and they talk about each other's mamas. Fact. Look it up, Bohemian Grove. Remember I told you, Bohemian Grove. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for anything. Unless you can do your own research, it's not valid. You must learn. The Bohemian Grove, these same people all over the world, they get together once a year. Once a year they get together. And no media is allowed to cover it. Anybody know what this stands for? CFR.
Council on Foreign Relations.
Council on Foreign Relations. Which is an offshoot of what? Trilateral Commission. What I'm trying to tell you about all these things is that our enemies that want to have us enslaved, they have organizations and a depth and a violence, and they have meetings. And the press is not allowed to go because the press is part of it. It's all controlled. Ask me, I work for all of them. I work for all of them stations. They were scared to death when they found out who I was. They got their shit together and we don't. We should not ever have any hunger because we have the ability to feed ourselves. We should not need for anything. And the last time I spoke here in Toronto, I told you, I said, there's a lot of stuff I could tell you I'm not going to tell you because it will only upset you. But right now I feel like upsetting you because just a few months ago, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I don't drink, I don't smoke, so it's kind of weird that I would get sick. And at 64, I look pretty good for, an old guy that's been. I went to the doctors and did all that mumbo jumbo. It didn't work, so I prayed, and I'm here now. So I decided to be real and to keep it straight. Right now, and there's some people in here who know what I'm going to tell you, cotton. Now, I know you all got cotton on somewhere, even if it's your drawers or your socks. It's getting ready to go up 30 to 50%. The price of gasoline, because the instability in the Middle East, you're going to be paying $5, $6, $7, whatever dollars. It's going to go crazy. But you can live without your car, and you can use and recycle your old clothes. You can wear blankets if you got to. You could do what you got to do. We got enough clothes. We don't need any more clothes. But the one thing you can't do without, and it's getting ready to go up 40 to 50%, is food, basic foods, the most basic foods. So I've been telling everybody in my community, go out and get everything that's non-perishable. Stock up. Because the person who has food, the person who don't have food, is going to come knocking on your door. Yo, B, cats that ain't seen you in a while, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? You know, they're going to be talking to you. They haven't seen you in a long time. All of a sudden, they're your best friend. What's up? And they're going to come knocking on his door and act like, you know, he's their cousin. Because he got food. And they don't. Hip-hop, KRS-One said, is the voice of black people. But he also said we're all from that same root. But he also said he made a warning that it would be the last voice of black people. Gil Scott-Heron. Anybody know who Gil Scott-Heron is?
The revolution will not be televised.
The revolution will not be televised.
Last train to Washington.
And he also did Winter in America. And he has a new album out called I'm New Here. And on that, there's a song called Running. And I suggest to you all, if you want to hear true, magical use of language in a powerful MC, listen to the word running. He says, if I'm running, it got to be for something worthwhile. He says, something more important than my life. And he goes on and breaks down the word running. Gil Scott-Heron.
Because I always feel like running. Not away, because there's no such place. Because if there was, I would have found it by now. Because it's easier to run, easier than staying and finding out you're the only one who didn't run. Because running will be the way your life and mine will be described, as in the long run, or as in having given someone a run for his money, or as in running out of time. Because running makes me look like everyone else, though I hope there will never be cause for that. Because I will be running in the other direction, not running for cover. Because if I knew where cover was, I would stay there and never have to run for it. Not running for my life. Because I have to be running for something of more value to be running and not in fear. Because the thing I fear cannot be escaped, eluded, avoided, hidden from, protected from, gotten away from, not without showing the fear as I see it now. Because closer, clearer, closer, nearer, because of you, and because of that nice that you quietly, quickly be causing, and because you're going to see me run soon, and because you're going to know why I'm running then. You'll know then, because I'm not going to tell you now.
Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was just Gil Scott-Heron on the track Running. And we're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We've got our guest on the line and joining us again this week. We're welcoming back to the show the voice of Hidden From History and HiddenNoLonger.com. You can find the evidence of the genocide into Canada. And he's representing the International Tribunal of the Crimes in Church and State. And he's on an international book tour. And joining us on the line, the Reverend Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for being back on the show. And I just wanted to ask you, well, actually, where are you calling in from now?
From London, England. I've just been in Denmark and a few other countries, and I'm back here touring the country and telling to everyone's amazement about, you know, the reality of thousands of Indian children dying across Canada. So people here are quite alarmed and are very much wanting to do something about it.
For real. And what was going on when the show or when your call dropped off last week? You were actually mentioning your thoughts on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, you were mentioning how the annual day that you have every year had some effect on the apology. Now, and this is coming up in April. I guess, could you, do you mind going into that story?
Sure. Since 2005, in Vancouver, a whole group of us began rallying outside churches on April 15th. We called it the Aboriginal Holocaust Memorial Day, and that's the day that we remembered all these children who died in residential schools run by the Catholic and Protestant churches. And as a result of that, and even more bold actions, we even started occupying churches during Sunday services and that, in a very nonviolent way, you know, talking to parishioners and that, but it really began to have an impact. And the thing that really clinched it was there was a member of parliament called Gary Morasty from Saskatchewan who saw our film Unrepentant and heard about our doing these actions on April 15th. And soon after that, he stood up in parliament in 2007 and asked a question about when these children's bodies are going to be given a proper burial. Within a couple of weeks, the TRC was announced. The government said they were going to look into these missing kids, although they've never done anything about that in the 4 years since. And, you know, they felt they had to respond in some way. So that definitely was a result of that public pressure we were raising. But in the wake of that, there's been an enormous miscarriage of justice, and this is the only thing you can call it. When the government and churches that are the criminals in this story set up an investigation into themselves, they appoint the commissioners. They don't allow those commissioners to take evidence that names, or talks about crimes. They don't allow the people to sue the churches that are caused these deaths. I mean, the entire thing is an enormous whitewash, and that's a polite word for it. You know, and so it's, you know, it's part of this ongoing cover-up, I believe, of these crimes that these parties are responsible for.
Right, and one thing that you mentioned that you wanted to talk a bit about this week was what's the response been to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and your thoughts on the idea that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings were not going to be allowed, or they were ordered off the territory of the Squamish Nation. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, very funny development. When the TRC announced on March 1st to 3rd, they were going to hold a conference in Vancouver where they're going to plan a museum on the residential schools. Well, of course, you know, this whitewashed body that's planning a so-called museum, they're not going to get very far with looking into the real truth. And they also are meeting on the land of the very hereditary chief who was not invited to their event. I mean, this was a gala kind of conference, $500 registration. You know, I'm sure your average residential school survivor couldn't afford, you know, a dollar, let alone $500. To get into this, but they went ahead and held it anyway. And in response, Chief Capilano of the Squamish Nation sent them a letter. And he said, you know, you never asked my permission to come here. You didn't even have the courtesy to invite me to this, so I'm telling you to get off my land. Now, Capilano is the hereditary chief of the Squamish. His grandfather was thrown out of the longhouse around 1920 by the Catholic Church and the RCMP. And another family that were loyal Catholics were put in as the chief. So Capilano is still a hereditary elder, and he actually, this eviction notice went out to the Catholic and Anglican United Churches 3 years ago. He filed it in the BC Supreme Court, and he said all of the territory that was his family's traditionally, which is all of Vancouver, he's telling these churches to get off, and now he's done the same thing to the TRC. He didn't just rest on the announcement, though. He went down to the TRC gathering with a number of supporters, and we have this on film. It's up on YouTube. And he actually went and delivered a common law lien. So what he said was, he said, since you people are ignoring my eviction order, you're in a state of illegal trespass, and I'm putting a lien on your account. So what he's done is he's filed a lien in the courts, which, you know, a commercial lien, just to explain to people, is if you are treated unjustly by people and they don't, you can't resolve it through the courts, you can simply put a lien on their property and their money so that they can't actually do any financial transactions. So what Capilano's strategy is, and he's working with common law lawyers around the world on this, he says that these churches should not be allowed to function economically, nor should the government, since they were committed crimes against humanity, and now they're continuing to operate as if, you know, they're above the law. So it's a very interesting development. In fact, when we hold our tribunal in September, we're going to be considering this and considering what legal sanctions can be brought against these churches and the Canadian government for committing these crimes, covering them up, and then, you know, ignoring the wishes of Indigenous leaders right in Canada.
Right, and that's why I'm glad that you're doing the work that you've been doing and getting the word out and, you know, researching all this stuff that's been hidden from history. And you can check out Kevin and his work online on hiddenfromhistory.org, and you'll find links there to other work and to his movie Unrepentant. And I wanted to ask you about one of your latest articles, or one of the latest articles I saw that was written by you, was speaking about a man named John Molloy, and it was other reflections on Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission as well. Who is this John Molloy, and why did you write this article?
Well, I'll tell you, John Molloy is a university professor at Trent University in Peterborough. And, you know, for about 20 years he's written fairly mild books about the residential schools, where, like all the other mainstream academics in Canada, they kind of skirt around the edges of the issue, and they never really describe the residential schools as a act of genocide. It's always, you know, the standard establishment line is that these were good intentions gone wrong, that this was a genuine attempt to give education to Indians, and that, you know, there were some bad things that happened within it, rather than what it was, which was an attempt to wipe out a people under the guise of religion and education. And I had a few run-ins with John Molloy. I actually spoke at Trent University, and he showed up and you know, disputed what I was saying. And even though he himself, in his book A National Crime, quoted my statistics that Peter Bryce, a doctor in Indian Affairs, reported that half the children were dying year after year in these schools from rampant diseases that had been deliberately introduced. And so while on the one hand he's quoting the information I'm bringing out, he's attacking me personally and very much acting like, you know, kind of the government arm. As a matter of fact, he was the official scholar for the Royal Commission on Aboriginal People in 1997. So, you know, he's kind of like the government scholar on all this. And he's made such outrageous comments as, even though many of these children died, it wasn't intentional. It was just because of underfunding. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like asking yourself, how can thousands of children be dying over decades and none of the conditions causing the deaths ever be fixed, and yet pretend that that's somehow accidental and not intentional? I think that Molloy, who helped set up the TRC, and he's their consultant, and he's going on, you know, with this whole fraudulent line that isn't supported by the evidence. I mean, the reason I write about him is because that's the voice you're hearing in the press. That's the view white Canadians have of themselves, that, you know, they didn't really try to wipe out Indians. And, you know, it doesn't jive with a lot of the statistics and the evidence. So that this is something we just have to bring out more and more.
Right, right. And that's why I'm glad that you're going to be in town. Like, your book tour is going to be hitting Toronto, and you're going to be around town for, I think it's the weekend of the 25th to the 28th of March.
That's right.
And Kevin Annan, that's why I'm hoping to be covering that, and we're going to be playing some of your words, and hopefully that, you know, the people out there listening that want to meet you will be able to go out and meet with you.
Could I just mention, Daniel, Saturday the 26th of March, I'm speaking at OISE at 2 p.m. The next day, Sunday the 27th, we're actually holding a rally outside downtown churches. We're going to meet at Metropolitan United Church at Queen and Church Street. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. And then the next day, Monday the 28th, I'll be speaking in Ryerson at 5 p.m. in Oakham House, Room G. So those are all being organized, by lots of supporters in Toronto, including our group in Toronto, Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared. And one of the women I think you're going to have on, Carrie Lester, actually led an occupation of one of the churches and seized the pulpit one Sunday and was dragged off. I mean, she's a very brave woman, so I'm glad that, you know, you're in touch with her.
Nice. Yeah. So we're going to try to have Carrie on the week before just to make sure we promote all these events that weekend that's coming up. And Kevin, Anna, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. And maybe we're going to try to speak with you again, maybe hopefully, you know, before you're in town, or, you know, at least when you're in town, for sure.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on all the time. As a matter of fact, I can do it again next Wednesday if that works for you.
Okay. Yeah, great. That'd be great.
All right.
We'll continue the conversation. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Kevin Annett there, and hopefully we'll get a few more minutes with Kevin Annett next week, just because I know, you know, there's even some, Derek was even thinking some things with that interview there. And we didn't get, you know, we didn't get to ask all the questions. So hopefully we'll be able to ask some more next week. Now, what we'll do here just is play a quick music break. Then we'll come right back to open up the phone lines and we'll talk about everything we got to talk about. But first, we'll play Hip Hop's Holy Spirit. It's a beat by Dork, the Disciple of Righteous Knowledge, off the Caddy One Universal Language Temple of Hip Hop mixtape. Respect to the teacher, KRS-One, and this is Hip Hop's Holy Spirit.
The church can't be trusted, she said. Look at Roman Catholic priests falling. Look what they've done to children. Look at televangelists. You can't trust them either. We can't even trust presidents anymore.
Hey, yo, I struggle with religion and I've been to different churches, not accepting what I'm given. I just want to know my purpose. Can you serve us with the knowledge and the wisdom we desire? Can you lift us when we're falling and we're hurtled in the fire? I retire on the statements that religion is the greatest, but they battle more than races. Holy wars up in the matrix. Make it to another level. Really sock it to the devil. Send a message in the music deep inside the bass and travel. Be a rebel of conditions, superstitions of a Christian. Settlements in a mental prison. Free yourself from the submission. When you listen to expression, you exist within a lesson, because God is just the title of a spiritual confession. I'm not guessing that I see her, because I'm a true believer. My God is like an MC and the world is like a speaker. She is talking to you cheaters and all you disagreeers. My God is like an MC and my body's like the speaker. Do it one time for your mind. God is everywhere and she isn't hard to find. She's looking at you right now, sitting in the sky. He's looking at you right now, spitting in your eye. You cannot deny the creator of your life. That's why you can't fly, so come back to the light. You cannot deny the creator of the mic. So grab that dish tight and come back to the light. When you're reading through the Bible, reciting the ancient scriptures, just remember that perception is painting the mental pictures. You can read it for yourself without sitting inside a church. Religion is a vision of somebody else's work. Searching for an answer, I wanted to take a look. But 16-year-old Jay decided to change the book. It was causing me confusion, thinking God was an illusion. Thank God that I found her hidden deep inside the movement. And the music that I heard, it became her only word. No religion could disturb all the powers of the herb and the flowers of the earth reigning over every spirit. I am rapping to my heartbeat so that everyone can hear it. And I fear it's just a choice that you're gonna have to make, whether you're true to religion or you decide that it's fake. And I fear it's just a choice someone's gonna have to make, whether you're a true believer or you decide that it's fake.
But Jesus told us in John 14 and in John 16 that I will give you the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you.
Do it one time for your mind. God is everywhere and she isn't hard to find. She's looking at you right now, sitting in the sky. He's looking at you right now, spitting in your eye. You cannot deny the creator of your life. That's why you can't fly, so come back to the light. You cannot deny the creator of the mic. So grab that dish tight and handle it right.
So we were sent a messenger, and we call him in English the peacemaker. And he came, and he... Again, he brought a message of peace. And the power in the message was, it was only words, the teachings, that compelled these people to believe and take up the way of peace.
Word up, talking about peace, talking about, real respect, and talking about the Word of Mouth Wednesday, the news of the day, what we're talking about. Just had Kevin Annett on the line, and then you just heard that music there from the Caddy One, the Universal Language mixtape, and shout-outs to the Temple of Hip-Hop. We also heard from Ernie Panicoli, who's a member of the Temple of Hip-Hop, and, you know, a member of basically the three, or founding member of the three major organizations within hip-hop, and he talked about that when he was on campus, and hopefully going to be posting some clips as well online, and you can find me online on YouTube at youtube.com/supportlocalscene. Derek's also on YouTube as youtube.com/thesecretstore, and then we've also got there's an account, there is a channel that we're both involved with, as well as the Toronto Truth Seekers, is the TTS Waking Minds channel on YouTube. And on YouTube, you can also find the Fifth Estate documentary.
Hey, Daniel, I just want to correct you there.
Yeah.
They can go directly to the CBC website.
Right.
And type in the Fifth Estate, and the documentary is called You Should Have Stayed at Home.
Right. Okay. And then the You Should Have Stayed at Home was the CBC documentary. And that was something that was on, I guess it wasn't last Friday, it was the Friday before. And I think that might have got some people energized for that rally that we played some clips of, the rally that just took place on Saturday. Because when I was talking to some of the people there, they were mentioning it, that they had seen it, and you know, and that they're hoping for another one. And as well, it was good to see there was people out at Young Dundas Square, and that there was, you know, some familiar faces, some people that, you know, hadn't seen. Derek, what did you think of the turnout? It was a rainy day. It was a Saturday. It was a rainy day. I had my umbrella out when I had my camera out, but what were you thinking, Derek?
You know, I think there was a lot of people who stood up in the rain, and those people are brave because, I mean, they care. When it gets down to it, nobody was paid to be there. Nobody told them to come. Nobody told them to handle flyers and to talk amongst the issues in the community. People made a choice, and I mean, this is good to see. When people unite, I mean, it feels great. I mean, just the feeling of coming out to one of these rallies to meet like-minded people is, you cannot put a price on that. You know, it's just, our potential is unlimited as people, and if we come together and we connect and we talk about solutions and not focus on the problem, I think we're in the right direction.
Exactly.
And just my take on it is, if you're listening to this show, I mean, the best thing to do is, I mean, just, a lot of people were not activists before. A lot of people were not protesters before. I was not. I live at Young and Dundas Square, pretty much. And I mean, I went down there with my camera as a documentary filmmaker, and I got caught up in it. And I got ID checked a couple times and threatened with arrest under an illegal act. 5-meter rules that never existed. Bill Blair admitted that he lied to the public, pretty much. It's plain and simple. So, I mean, when laws are being changed and enforced from a Wartime Measures Act, way back in, I believe, 1939, I think? It was the Ontario Public Works Act, or 1945, yep. It might be, yeah. But when they're bringing back, when they're bringing back these, so to speak, hibernating bears, and using that as an excuse to ID us and check our bags, and that is an attack on the charter rights. And
exactly,
you know, we just want to make sure this never happens again in Canadian history.
Mm-hmm.
And our voices will be heard. We will not be silenced. And it's about coming together. I mean, doing these shows, going on Facebook, sending out news feeds, producing videos. I mean, information is vital.
Right. You know? And you talk about the secret law, the so-called secret law, the Public Works Protection Act, which is, you know, it's a rarely used law that has been on the books, I guess, since the
dormant.
World War II. Yeah, it had been dormant. And then in the Ombudsman report, it talked about how his, you know, that was his number one recommendation, was to revise or replace the act. And that could be happening in the future. I don't know if it's going to be an election issue, but we actually just got a caller into the show, and this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, speaking.
Hi, it's Dave.
Oh, no, not this Dave. I'm not sure if we can have you on the line, just because from what I've heard, this Dave is an insult to Dave Cronsilver, and you know, we support Dave Cronsilver, and as a respect, you know, out of an issue of respect, we're going to drop that call now, just because that Dave, well, he's mostly known as Dave Two, I guess, in a
maybe an instigator
secret, right? Well, he is instigating something, and I know that that Dave Cronsilver has been offended by
him calling in. Next topic, positive.
Well, there is. Okay, well, I don't know how positive this is, but I wanted to play a clip here that was positive when I played it, because this is a totally exposing the New World Order clip. And this is Muammar Gaddafi's speech to the UN in 2009. This is a clip we played about, you know, it's a bit, you know, more than a year ago now. This is a 2009, in the fall of 2009, Muammar Gaddafi, the same guy that's the head of Libya, shows up at the UN, and he basically exposes the swine flu, the H1N1. Remember the H1N1? Well, check out this. Here's
swine,
a bit of a clip
the
here.
The swine flu. Perhaps tomorrow we shall have a fish flu. And because we do make sometimes virus in the liberty, and we lose control over them. This means that it is a commission, it is business. They make the virus so that the capitalist companies will have will have the vaccinations, create the vaccinations, and they want to sell it. And this is really shame, and this is really bad ethic. Vaccination should not be sold. Read the Green Book. Medicine should not be sold.
So what he so that was basically the translator translating Muammar Gaddafi's speech to the United Nations. And what he mentioned in there is he's warning about a fish flu. Now, what he was saying was that the H1N1 flu, and I don't think that Libya bought into it, bought into the vaccine, and he was mentioning that sometimes these flus are created in laboratories and released, and that he was warning that what could be next is the fish flu. Now, a fish flu, as far as I know, never hit, but we have seen massive die-offs of fish all around the world, and a major cause of it was the BP oil spill, and that ties into the Libya currently, because apparently a few months ago, Libya had signed an oil deal with BP, so BP is controlling those fields, or some of them at least. This is an international issue, and this is where the topic, everything we were talking about last week, comes into play, because Robin Nieto, the former the longtime co-host of the Word of Mouth Wednesday, called in and mentioned that the Canada, as well as several other of the major countries, have sent warships and are on the way to Libya. And then what's come out in the past few days is that the British SAS, and that's like, the top special ops agents of the UK, were found in Libya. And, there's even a cover story that they were trying to liaise with the protest groups, or I don't even know if anybody really knows what kind of secret op they're on. But what are your thoughts on the situation in Libya? Derek, since we got you in the studio.
Yeah, we have massive human rights violations. we have definitely, this is mass killings going on here. I mean, these are human rights violations that we haven't seen before, and people are standing up for their rights. And people want to protest. They want freedom. They want democracy in those countries. They've been repressed time and time again. These are crimes against humanity. It's appalling what's going on there. And I mean, the Harper regime came out and said that they don't stand for governments firing on their own people. That was Harper's words himself. Meanwhile, in Toronto, we're fighting for our democratic rights as well. People had rubber bullets fired on them, and it came out. They had to admit it a month later. For a month, they denied it. So I mean, if he's going to stand up for democracy in these countries, yeah, stand up in your own country, Harper. And I mean, I did a little research here, and it's very interesting. There is a connection between Canada and Libya.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that G20 infamous fence was built by a company. Hmm. It's called SNC-Lavalin Group. Now, it's one of these foreign companies that's in over 45 countries in the world. They get major contracts. And now I researched the company, and it's very interesting because initially this fence, the cost was published by the Globe and Mail. It was supposed to be $5.4 million to build a fence surrounding the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Now, the Toronto Star, I believe, came out, and the initial cost doubled. It came out the final cost of the fence to build brick and mortar was $9.4 million. I mean, I could have spent quite a lot of less money to build that fence. With my abilities, definitely. But definitely in Libya, we have the same contracting company. Once again, SNC-Lavalin. I would recommend people go to the website. They can research the board of directors. And one of the board of directors, his name is Hugh D. Siegel. Okay, now, this is interesting because once you put him in Wikipedia, he is credited by helping Stephen Harper become prime minister by moderating his image. That's a specific quote from the Wikipedia. And I mean, I just researched an article that came out in the Globe and Mail. His book is actually called Pushing for a North American Community. So what he's advocating is a bridge of the three countries, which is Canada, US, and Mexico. He wants a North American community, which is also known as global convergence, global governance. Okay, so I mean, this is definitely a political strategist that is connected to Harper on the board of directors for this company that built this fence. So we got to ask, how did they get that contract? Is there conflicts of interest? And that's why we need a full public inquiry, besides all the other facts and all the other violations of charter rights and freedoms. I mean, there's so much money at stake here, $1 billion spent of Canadian taxpayers' money. you know, to shut down the city for a weekend. Mm-hmm. It was like an army came into the city. You know, we've never seen anything like that. So, I mean, I advocate people study it, and I'm only spewing the facts here. So,
right. Right,
the
exactly.
Same company.
And these are the facts. These are the headlines we're seeing today. Speaker of the House has ruled the Harper government has breached their privilege. And this is relating to the situation, the scandal with Bev Oda and lies lying on documents. Another headline we saw, CRTC approves BCE's purchase of CTV Globe Media. And this is basically one of the biggest deals in Canadian history in terms of the media. BCE has bought CTV Globe Media and it's been approved. And quoted here from the chairman, Conrad von Finkenstein, talking about that this deal will provide stability and will also invest $245 million into the Canadian broadcast system, more than $140 million allocated to the new Canadian radio and TV programming. So we could be seeing some new programming. We could be seeing multi-million dollars spent. Another headline we've got, Canada announces support for the International Day of the Girl. This took place yesterday, I guess yesterday was the International Day for Women. Well, the Honorable Rona Ambrose, the Minister of Status of Women, a Conservative MP, said that Canada now supports the International Day of the Girl, and they're lobbying for the UN with that. And then another headline we've got is a good news headline out of the eye-opener today. CKLN wins two-year slander suit. This is eye-opener page 5. CKLN Radio has won a slander suit, and it involves slanderous comments made on air that there was no, there wasn't the evidence found for. So, what has happened here? Quoted as a nuisance by the vice chair, Andrew Lair. So this is basically, if you check out the eye-opener, page 5, you'll find that article. And I think you can find that eyeopeneronline.com. These are just some of the headlines we're seeing, and there's a whole lot more. Now, what we've got to talk about is these rallies against the Harper government and what's been going on with the Harper government. So there's a big call for democracy in Canada for March 19th, Saturday, March 19th, the rally. And Derek, you're even talking about looking into the future too for the one-year anniversary rally for the G20. So check out the Canadians Demanding a Public Inquiry page on Facebook.
Yeah, and you can specifically type in Toronto G20 one-year anniversary as an event, and that will pop up. And we just want to get everybody's take and everybody creating a discussion. And we nominate moderators based on their active work in the community as far as G20 issues. And we want everybody to have an equal stake in ideas and just active, just vocal, you know, just to be vocal and have a voice and say what you want to have done in the future. It's going to be it's a place for people to come together and stand mm-hmm. up for rights and have music and artistic people from all different walks of life, communities and different colors, different races, different sexual orientations. We're about all rights, you know, and that's what G20 is. I mean, we should do this every year on the anniversary, you know?
For real, yeah. And thanks a lot, Derek, for joining us here in the studio again this week. And thanks a lot for your help on the show today. And
thank you, Dan.
Check out the Toronto G20exposed.ca for all your links to the documentary Toronto G20 Exposed. And as well, we're just going to promote an event taking place tomorrow, Thursday, March the 10th. There's a rally to defeat Bill S-10 or S-1 or S-109. It's a halt to Harper's prison expansion plans. This is at 12 noon, 2 p.m., and it's in front of the Old City Hall Courthouse, 60 Queen West, put on by the Prison Moratorium Action Coalition. So that's tomorrow, rally to defeat the Bill S-10, halt Harper's prison expansion plans tomorrow, 12 noon to 2 p.m., in front of the Old City Hall Courthouse. And as well, I just wanted to thank our guest on the show, Kevin Annett. Check out itccs.org. Check out hiddennolonger.com. Check out hiddenfromhistory.org for the work of Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. And I also want to thank Brother Ernie Panicoli. Ernie Panicoli, the legendary hip-hop photographer who was on campus and delivered the opening speech for the Live Hip-Hop Festival, which is Live to Inspire Via Education. And The show that Ernie's actually on is on Radio Positive World Radio Network, pwrnradio.com, to find some more work. The Brother Ernie Third Eye Studio show with Ernie Panicoli. Check out pwrnradio.com. And as well, check out some archive. You can find some archives of CKLN on radioforall.net. You can find some of Word of Mouth Wednesday and a few of the other shows. So check out that site if you're looking for some internet sites. And stay tuned for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be back next week. My name's Daniel Libby, and thanks for listening. Word up. Word of mouth. Word is bond. Word out.